Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Tzadik Beis. We're on Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis, all the way on the bottom. At the last line, Omer Le Ravina Le Ravashi. We discussed yesterday that according to Rabbi Shimon, Kli HaChatzar, meaning a Kli which was out in the courtyard during Ben HaShemashos, and was designated for outdoor use, so to speak. It was not inside the home during Ben HaShemashos, in which case it would be considered a domestically designated for personal household use. So if it's a Kli HaChatzar, that outdoor Kli can be transferred throughout the Chatzeris, even from one Chatzar to the other, without an Erev Chatzeris, because it's not been designated for personal, intimate use, and therefore there's no concern of Shinui Rishus. When transferring from one chatzah to the other, an outdoor kli is undesignated, non-personal. Therefore, there's no concern of transfer from one chatzah to the other. However, kli habayis, a kli which was inside one's home during Ben HaShemashos and designated, so to speak, for personal use, that domestic kli must remain within one's personal rishus. It can go out to your chatzah if you have an erev, but it can't go over to the next chatzah without an erev chatzeris. The Gemara brought a machlokes between Rav, who says that the halacha is like Rav Shimon, but this only applies when there's no concern of the domestic kelim, the klei habayis, being present in the chatzar. Because otherwise, there's a concern that perhaps just as you're going to transfer your klei chatzar next door, you'll inadvertently transfer also the klei habayis to the chatzar next door, which you can't. Therefore, Rav says, in a case where the people of this chatzar established an Erev Chatzeris, which allows them to transfer their Klei HaBayis out to their Chatzer, in which case Klei HaBayis are present in their Chatzer, we don't follow this Heter. We don't allow transferring freely from one Chatzer to the other, because inadvertently he might transfer also the Klei HaBayis to the Chatzer next door. So the Halacha of Reb Shimon only applies to a case of Loi Irvu, when the people of the Chatzer did not join together in Erev, and therefore there are no Klei HaBayis to be found in their Chatzer. They're not allowed to transfer their personal belongings out to the chatzar. So since there are no klei habayis in the chatzar, this concern doesn't apply, and you could transfer the klei chatzar from your chatzar to the chatzar next door. That's Shitas Rav, where Rabbi Yechonah says, whether or not there was an Erev in this chatzar, whether or not there are klei habayis to be found in the chatzar, this same halacha would apply. You can transfer the outdoor kelim, the klei chatzar, to the chatzar next door, and according to Reb Shimon, there's no concern that you'll inadvertently carry along the klei habayis to the chatzar next door as well. That was Shitas Reb Yechonah. Says the Gemara on the bottom line, Amar Lei Ravina Le Ravashi, Mi Amar Reb Yechonah Hachi? Is that so? The Reb Yechonah said that the halacha is like Reb Shimon, whether or not there was an erev in this chatzar. Ve'amar Reb Yechonah, did Reb Yechonah tell us halacha k'sta mishnah? The halacha is like a stam mishnah, meaning whenever we have a mishnah without a name, the halacha follows that shita. Rashi, in the beginning of Maseches Beis, explains that when Rabbi HaKadosh compiled the mishnayos, sometimes he would leave a halacha without attributing it to a name. The reason for that would be that so that it becomes accepted upon all. And it wasn't just his own decision, it was together with the other chachamim, as Rishonim explained. So when they conclude that this halacha is meant to be followed, it was recorded without a name, to give the impression that it was a shita which was instructed by the rabbim, not just an individual opinion. So Rabbi Yechonah tells us we're meant to follow a stam mishnah. And we have a stam mishnah which seems to indicate a bit differently the Rabbi Yechonah's halacha here. What is the mishnah? It's not. The mishnah said like this, Koisel shebein shtei chatzeris. If we have a wall in between two courtyards, Govaya asora, barech varbo, 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, they're now split into two entities. They have to make two separate independent Erevs. They cannot join together. If there were fruit sitting on top of that wall, the residents of this chatzar can climb up and eat the fruit on top. Likewise, the members on the other side can climb up and eat the fruit on top of the wall. Ubavad shaloyaridu lamata, provided they don't bring the fruit down to the chatzar. So what's the kasha? Let's see Rashi. up on the first line on top, Umi Omar B'yechon Hachi. Is that so? The Rabbi Yechonah said, Halacha Kerab Shimon, Vafilu Irvu. That even when there was an Erev in the Chatzeres, in which case there are domestic kelim to be found outside, even then we follow Rabbi Shimon, and we say the Chatzeres, Rishus Achas, that all courtyards are considered to be one and the same entity, with free transfer allowed throughout. We have a Mishnah which says, they can climb on the wall and eat over there, but they can't bring down, Ubavad, Shelo Yeridu Lamata. So what do we see from here? We have something which was in the chatzar, and since it's sitting on a jointly controlled area, top surface of that wall, they are prevented from bringing it down to their chatzar. Alma, says Rashi, apparently, you can't transfer from one chatzar to the other without an erev. Now, Iyamas b'shloima b'irvu asr, it's all good and well if you say that, well, in the case where a chatzar has an erev, it's usr to transfer from one chatzar to the other, the way Rav learned, because there's a concern about the klei bayis, etc. If that would be the case, then we would have a good pshat in this Mishnah. Ukim nalaha b'irvu. We would interpret this Mishnah, which doesn't allow free transfer, to be speaking in a case where there was an erev. So this allowance doesn't apply. Aval hashta, but now the Rabbi Yechon tells us that the heter applies in all cases. But my tukma, how are you going to establish the Mishnah? How are we going to understand the iser to transfer from one chatzah to the other? Says the Gemara, on the sixth line, says the Gemara, you know what the Mishnah meant when it said, Vavad shelo yirid lamata? It didn't mean from the wall down to the chatzah. That certainly is allowed. My lamata, lamata lebatim. You can't bring it down to the home. That's certainly agreed upon by all. Even Rabbi Yechon would agree, you can't transfer the klei hachatzar into a person's personal space, his personal home. That's your personal rishus. That's considered to be a shin rishus, right? So you take something from the chatzar next door or from a joint area and bring it over to your personal home. That was never a discussion. So that explains the Mishnah. It's not speaking about transfer from one chatzar to the other, rather into one's home. Says the Gemara, that's over. Tani Rabbi Chiya. But Rabbi Chiya taught in his Braisa, as a supplement, as an explanation to this Mishnah. So they can eat on top of the wall, but they must make sure that this fellow doesn't stand down on the Bim Koyim on the Chatzar and eat from the top of the wall. Likewise, the fellow on the other side, he can't stand on the floor below and eat from the top of the wall. So apparently, transfer even to the chatzar is not allowed. Amar Leiser of Ashi responded, you're bringing a raya from the Braisa of Rabbi Chiya. But in the Mishnah itself, we don't find any mention of this restriction. V'chi Rebbe Leishana. If Rebbe, who compiled the Mishnah, who was the teacher, the Rebbe of Rabbi Chiya, did not include this in his Mishnah, Rabbi Chiya Menayloi, how did Rabbi Chiya, the Talmud, know this pshat, this halacha? Meaning it's unreliable. The Mishnah is certainly referring to transferring to the home, which is not allowed, but of course transferring into the chatzar would certainly be allowed. And according to Rabbi Yechon Shita, that in all cases, transfer from one chatzar to the other chatzar is allowed, provided we're speaking about klei hachatzar. Itmar, we learned. Shtei chatzeres b'churva achas b'neim. We have this churva, this dilapidated home, this ruins, situated in between two chatzeres. So churva is like considered like a non-residential area, like a chatzar. So just as you would transfer from one chatzar to the other, you could transfer into the churva as well. So what happened? There were two chatzeres, one on either side of this churva, achas irva, v'achas le'irva. One chatzar had an erev, in which case there are perhaps klei habayis to be found there, right? And the other one had no erev, in which case there are no klei habayis found in the chatzar. Now, can they use this churva? Says the more we have machlekes. Omer of Huna. Noisden oisa. We grant access, we grant permission of use of the churva. To who? Lezu shalei irva. To the chatzar who has no erev. Aval shirva loy. But we don't allow access to the churva from the chatzar that has an erev. Why? Because Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav, who holds that a chatzar that has an erev, in which case is a concern about klei habayis found in that chatzar, cannot transfer even their klei chatzar into another outdoor area. As the Gemara explains, Dilma, there's a concern perhaps Asilafuki mani de batim l'chur, perhaps he's going to inadvertently transfer some of his domestic kelim, his household kelim, into the churva as well. So Rav Huna is consistent with Rav that this heter to transfer from one outdoor area to the other, chatzar to chatzar, chatzar to churva, only applies in a case where the chatzar has no eriv, but when there's an eriv and there's a concern about klei habayis present in the chatzar, then we don't allow because perhaps inadvertently he's going to transfer those klei habayis to the area next door. So that's the shita of Rav Huna. V'chia bar Rav Amar, Chia, the son of Rav himself, quoted his father as follows. Af l'shi'irva, when it comes to this question of the churva between the two chatzeres, the halacha is, it is granted not just to the one that had no erev, but af l'shi'irva also to the chatzer that had an erev. Now, he didn't explain, he didn't elaborate. Rav didn't explain, it can go one way or the other. So we know that both chatzers are in the same boat. That's pretty clear from his language. So he lumped them together, but it could be one way or the other. Both have access, both can't access the churva. So Chia, the son of Rav, interpreted as follows. He says, my understanding of my father's shita is, what he meant to say is ushtei nasuris. Both chatzers don't have access to the churva. Not only the chatzer that had the erev, which contains entails that chashash, that gzera, the klei habayis, not only that can't transfer to the churva, but even the other chatzer that does not have an erev will not be able to transfer to the churva. That's probably what my father meant. And the reason is, a gzera. If we'll allow the chatzer that has no erev to use the churva, perhaps that heta will be applied to the other chatzer as well, so we make that chatzer usur on account of the other one. So both are not allowed to use the churva. That seems to be the correct interpretation of my father's words. So Chiya bar Rav continued and he said like this, V'im Taimar. Now, if you choose to challenge my interpretation and say that my father meant actually Shtei Mutaris, that both Chatzeres can actually use the churva, meaning not only the Chatzer that has no Erev, but even the Chatzer that has an Erev, can go ahead and use the churva. If you'll suggest that pshat, then I have a kash on you. Fine, perhaps I can't prove the gzera portion that the issa will extend over to even to the chatzah that has no erev. But regarding the chatzah that has an erev, I can pretty much prove to you that my father would not allow. Why? Very simple, from that halacha of the chatzeres that we learned earlier. Mipnei ma, a nice chatzer, shlo irva, the chatzer she irva. When we discussed the halachas of the chatzeres next to each other, my father clearly said that the chatzer that has an irv cannot go ahead and transfer the chatzer next door. A nice chatzer shlo irva, we don't grant access to the chatzer that has no irv, the chatzer she irva, meaning we don't grant it to the chatzer that has an irv. What he means to say is that the chatzah that has an erev cannot transfer over to the chatzah next door that has no erev. Because, as Rav said, there's a gzera, there's a concern when a chatzah has an erev, that perhaps he transferred his klei habayis into the chatzah, and since the klei habayis are present in the chatzah, they might get transferred as well to the chatzah next door. So this is Chia responding to his opponent, so to speak, saying, if you're going to challenge me and say that everything's okay, then mipnei ma, why is it that in those cases, when the chatzeres are lined up next to each other, a nice chatzer shle irva l'chatzer she irva, we don't grant the chatzer that has no irv and allow access into that chatzer from the chatzer l'chatzer she irva. We don't grant it to the chatzer that has an irv. They can't go ahead and transfer the chatzer next door. Apparently, there's a gzera because the chatzer has an irv, has those klei habayis outside, and he cannot transfer the chatzer next door that doesn't have an irv. So the Gemara responded, there's no real riot from there. There's room to draw a line between adjacent chatzeres and this case of the churva. Why? In the case of adjacent chatzeres, it's more of a concern that perhaps inadvertently the wrong kalim will get transferred because it's heavily used. Hasam, in the case of the adjoining courtyards, kiva de mintri mani de batim b'chatzar. Since the household utensils are kept safe and secure in the chatzar, it's a safe and secure area, osil afuki, he might go ahead and transfer things, meaning it's a commonly used area. They transfer the kelim out of the chatzar, it's a safe and secure area. So just as he brings his kelim into his own chatzar, perhaps he'll get overly engrossed in transferring all his kelim, his chatzar kelim, his household kelim, he might go ahead and transfer it to chatzar next door as well. That's what Rav says. A chatzar that has an eruv cannot have this heter, a free transfer, because perhaps due to his over-involvement in transferring his kelim to his chatzar, which is commonly done, he might go ahead and transfer the wrong kelim to the chatzar next door. That explains the halacha of Rav by chatzeris. However, over here by churva, perhaps that doesn't apply. Hocha b'churva, kivin delei mintari mani de chatzar b'churva, since the klei chatzar are not really kept safe and secure in this exposed ruins, so it's not a heavily used area. They don't transfer much into that place. Laislav fuki. So he's not going to be overly involved in bringing kelim over here. And there's not really a concern that he's going to inadvertently bring along his household kelim to the churva next door. So this is the Gemara's response to Chiya, the son of Rav, who was trying to prove from his father's shita by chatzeris that just as over there, the chatzer that has an erev cannot rely on the heter, a free transfer, to the chatzer next door, for concern that he might transfer the klei habayis. He wanted to bring a raya from there to churva as well. And the Gemara said, there's room for distinction. A place which contains kelim on a regular basis, it's a safe and secure area. So perhaps, while transferring his kelim, he might inadvertently transfer the wrong kli to the wrong place, as opposed to churva, which is not a commonly used area. It's not a safe and secure place to put kelim. So his concern is diminished, and perhaps, based on that, there would be no reason to restrict anything. And this churva, which is situated between two chatzeres, perhaps both chatzeres, whether the one that has an erev, or the one that does not have an erev, can go both transfer their klei chatzer into the churva, even according to Rav. Ikadamri, there's another version, Chiya Barav Amar, that Chiya Barav said as follows. He quoted his father once again, who said, Aflish erva, regarding the question of who gets access to the churva? It is granted to the chatzar shele yirva and also to the chatzar she yirva. So he bunched them together but didn't elaborate. We could interpret it one way or the other. So both chatzeres have the same halacha. Are they both mutter or both asr? He left it up in the air. And Chiba Rav followed through by saying, you know what, I actually think he meant lekula. So according to this version of the Gemara, Chiba Rav interpreted it leniently, ushtein mutaris. They're both allowed to access this churva, meaning not only the chatzar that has no erev, but even the chatzar that has an erev can access the churva. And Chiya Barav continued, Vim Toimer, if you'll challenge me and say, no, shtein asuris, they're both asur. Meaning, not only is the chatzar that has an erev asur to use it for concern of the klei habayis that are perhaps found in that chatzar, but even the other chatzar is asur because of gzeira, like we said earlier. We're concerned about one on account of the other. If you allow this, they'll allow this. So both are lumped together, and Rav meant that both are asr. Perhaps that's what Rav meant. This is all Chiya Barav speaking. If you'll challenge me, you say, my father meant both are asr. Well, I'll respond to you by saying like this. Actually, you'll say both are asr. Why? Why? What's going to be your raya? You're going to prove it to me. At least one of those elements you can prove. You can prove that the chatzah that has an erev is not allowed to transfer due to the fact that there's a concern about the klei habayis found there, which might be transferred inadvertently. If that's going to be a proof, lefi she'ei noisnim chatzah shele irva, l'chatzah she'irva, just as my father said by adjoining chatzeres, we don't grant the chatzah that has no irv to the chatzah that has an irv, meaning the chatzah that has an irv cannot go ahead and access, cannot use the chatzah next door, right? Right? Rav clearly said that. And the reason was because the chatzah that has an irv perhaps has klei habayis present there, which might inadvertently be transferred as well. So that's going to be your proof that a chatzah that has an erev cannot go transfer to next door. Likewise, in the case of Churva, apparently my father meant that the chatzar that has an Erev is Aser, and when he said both are in the same din, he meant to say both are Aser. If that's going to be a proof, I'll respond to you that there's room to differentiate between adjoining chatzeres and the Churva. And this is the very svara the Gemara said earlier, but actually here Chiva Rav himself is saying it. No, I'll say there's room to differentiate. Hasam, in the case of the adjoining chatzeres, yeah, there's room for concern because he's overly engaged in transferring kelim, given the mintery of mani the batam b'chatzar, since the household kelim are safe and secure in the chatzar. Le'sharu b'rabbanon, chachamim did not allow transferring from one chatzar to the other when this chatzar has an erev, and perhaps contains the klei habayis, because it's a safe area where the klei habayis are transferred to. The osila fuki, because he might go ahead and inadvertently transfer the wrong kelim to the chatzar next door. That explains why my father did not allow by the chatzar she'irva to transfer to the other chatzar. Chatzeres are safe areas. So when he transfers things from his house to the chatzar, from his chatzar to the chatzar next door, which is also a safe area, inadvertently he might bring the wrong kli. Aval b'churva elementary, as opposed to a ruins, kelim are not safe and secure in this area. So it's not a place where you generally bring kelim to. So it's only limited use, and since he's not overly involved in transporting kelim, that concern is diminished, and perhaps my father did allow use of this churva, not only to the chatzar that has no erev, but even to the chatzar that has an erev, who perhaps has klei habayis in his chatzar. They too can use the churva, because it's limited use, and this concern of inadvertently mixing things up will not apply. So in conclusion, regarding the metaltel, the klei ha-chatzar, meaning the klei that was present in the chatzar during Ben HaShemashes, and was designated as an outdoor klei, regarding transferring that without an erev from one chatzar to the other, according to Rav, it depends. If you're taking from a chatzar that has an erev, then it's aser. For concern that the klei ha-bayis that are present in that chatzar will perhaps be transferred to the chatzar next door. But a chatzar that has no erev certainly can go ahead and transfer to the chatzar next door due to the fact that there's no klei habayis present in that chatzar. Kontra b'yechanan, whether erev or le'erev, this concern doesn't apply. You could transfer from one chatzar to the other. What about transferring from a chatzar to a churva? Kontra Rav Huna, who is following the shita of Rav, well, the chatzar that has an erev, in which case klei habayis are present, cannot use the churva for concern that he might transfer the household kelim as well. A chatzar that has no erev can transfer to the churva. Regarding Chiya Barav, we have two versions in the Gemara. According to the first approach, he contended that his father Shita was both chatzeres can't transfer to the churva, whether the chatzar that has an erev or even the other chatzar, due to a gzera. If you allow one, perhaps the heter will be applied to the other one, so they're both aser. Whereas according to the second version of Chiya Barav, indeed both chatzeres are mutter to transfer to the churva. The reason being that a churva is not an area where you transfer kelim. So it's just a limited use, and there's no concern of over-involvement, and inadvertently transferring over the wrong kli. Continues the Mishnah. Gag gadol samach l'katan. Suppose you have a large-sized rooftop adjoining a small-sized rooftop. So the larger one is wider, comes around, envelops, until it reaches the small one, and then extends into the small one. So what is the halacha? Ha gadol mutar v'katan asur. In the large size roof you can carry, but not in the small size roof. Why? Because when you stand inside the large size rooftop and you look towards the small one, what do you see? You see something which appears like a pesach, like an entranceway, because the overlaps form those it's like doorposts. It gives the impression of an entranceway. So you have a machitza there. So as far as the gadol is concerned, he's fully enveloped, he's fully enclosed. He's not breached at all. As opposed to the katan, when he takes a look at the gadol, he's fully exposed. He's missing a wall. So as far as he's concerned, he's parts. Parts to where? To a makam asala, to a place to which he can't transfer. And therefore the katan is asr and the gadol is mutter. Now, what type of transfer are we speaking about? What type of kelim? We're going to see in a minute. So this halacha applies to rooftops and also applies in a similar situation of courtyards. says the Mishnah, Chotzer Gedoyla Shnifetz Laktana, a large-sized courtyard, which is completely open to a small courtyard next door. The same type of configuration. The larger Chotzer is wider in size than the smaller one. So the point where they meet, as far as the Gedoyla, is merely considered like an entranceway, because it overlaps on both sides. So it's considered to be a Pesach, and the Chotzer Gedoyla is unaffected, as opposed to the Ketana, which is totally breached to the Gdela. When he stands inside his courtyard and he looks towards the Gadol, he doesn't see any overlap, he doesn't see any entranceway. He's completely exposed to the Chatzah Gdela. So as a result, we say Gdela Muteres, Ketana Asura. The Gdela can carry, but not the Ketana, Mipnei Shei Kepischa Shel Gdela, because the small one is regarded like an entranceway, like a Pesach of the Gdela. So as far as the Gdela is concerned, the Ketana doesn't interfere, he's my entranceway. But as far as the Ketana is concerned, he's fully exposed and breached to the Gdela, and he's not allowed to carry. Now Rashi explains that this Mishnah follows even Shitas Rameir, who allows free transfer throughout all the rooftops in the city. But that only applies to an outdoor kli, meaning it was present outside during Ben HaShemashes. But a kli ha-bayis, a household kli, must remain within your personal space, in your home, or on your personal rooftop, or in your personal chatzar. You can't transfer it to the chatzar next door, or to the rooftop next door without an erev. So that's what the Mishnah is speaking about. Even according to Rav Meir, if you'd like to take your household items up to your rooftop, or into your chatzar, so the chatzar gedola can do that, or the gag gadol can do that, because it's considered to be a contained area, fully enclosed. It's considered to be your personal space, which is contained and enclosed with mechitzis, as opposed to the small size rooftop or the small size chatzar, which is nifrat l'makom asala. It's exposed, it's breached and open to a place to which it can't transfer his house, his household items, his household goods. So since he's open to an area to which he can't transfer those items, he's considered to be unenclosed, fully exposed, like a karmelis. Therefore, he can't go ahead and transfer, carry his kli habayis in his gag or in his chatz. So the Mishnah cited two examples, rooftops and courtyards. It says, Gemara lomeli lemisni tarti. Why the repetition? Why do we need to apply the halacha by rooftops and courtyards, which seem to be one and the same concept? Lomeli lemisni tarti, says the Gemara. Well, the answer is like this. You may remember that there was a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in the beginning of the perek regarding the halacha of good asik. Halacha Meshem Sinai, we take the mechitza, which separates down below, and we have it rise further up. Because once it separates the area below, it's considered as though it's separating everything all the way up to the sky. But there was machlokes. Shmuel said, you can apply this concept even to mechitza she'ena nikaris, even mechitzas which are not necessarily visible while standing on top. Whereas Rav maintained that only a mechitza which is visible from your position up above can be utilized and applied to the territory up above. So for instance, two examples. If you have a home surrounded with mechitzas, those exterior household mechitzas can rise above and create an enclosure for the roof as well. But according to Rav, you can't have the roof hang over those mechitzas, meaning if there's an overhang, if you don't see those mechitzas while standing on the roof, when you peer downward, what do you see? You see the overhang, you don't see the mechitzas, the exterior mechitzas of the home, then those are mechitzas she'en in the curse and can't rise upward to enclose the rooftop. According to Shmuel, it can. Another application was, if you have two rooftops next to each other, so those two homes actually have a mechitza between them, but that mechitza is not visible from your position up on the roof. It's covered by the roof, which overshadows everything. So according to Shmuel, we say good asik there as well. Just as the homes are detached via that mechitza, the rooftops as well, they can utilize that mechitza from down below. So even if it's not nikur above, it can be extended upward. But according to Rav, since it's not visible from the rooftop, it can't be used. So getting back to our question, why does the Mishnah cite two examples of a similar halacha, two rooftops, two chatzeres, lo mili misnitarti? Says the Gemara, it's meant to prove a point. Rav will prove his point, his sheet from the Mishnah, and Shmuel will prove his point. L'Rav, according to Rav, Ketani Gag Dumi D'Chatzer. The Mishnah was trying to highlight that the rooftop was constructed similar to the Chatzer. Meaning, Ma Chatzer Min Kor Mechitzasa. Just as a courtyard, certainly its Mechitzas are visible, they're above ground, and therefore they're considered to be Mechitzas. Av Gag, likewise, the rooftop, which is the subject of discussion now, Mishnah, is apparently constructed in a similar fashion to the Chatzer. Av Gag Nami Min Kor Mechitzasa. Its Mechitzas are visible. Explains Rashi that the exterior walls of that home will only create a mechitza for the rooftop if they're visible from the rooftop. There's no overhang. So that's the point of the Mishnah. Compare rooftops to chatzeres. You need to have visible mechitzas, and only that can be applied. Conversely, says the Gemara, Ulishmo, he's going to prove his shita that we don't need to have visible mechitzas to apply the good asik concept. And that's why the Mishnah mentions gag dumi the chatzer. Rooftop, similar to the chatzer. Ma chatzer, the kadar si l'rav. Just as the chatzer, discussed in this Mishnah, is a heavily traveled area. So it's used by many people. And when you have the two chatzers, you have people going to and fro, walking over the separating point, the point where the two chatzers meet with each other. Av gag nami, likewise, the rooftops that we're discussing, the Kodar Sila Rabban, we're speaking where there are people traversing, going back and forth from one rooftop to the other. There are people living up there using it. And that explains the following halach. Why do we say that the small size rooftop is asr? Why don't we say that it's fully enclosed with a mechitza? Which mechitza? The mechitza that separates the homes below. So at the point where the large rooftop and the small rooftop meet, there really is a halacha mechitza there. Because, let's remember, those rooftops are situated above homes, which are separated with a mechitza below. So according to Shmuel, that mechitza would rise above, would extend upward, and really separate the two rooftops, and create a full-fledged mechitza to enclose this small rooftop as well. And he wouldn't be considered exposed at all. Why don't we say that? The only reason why we don't say that? Because we can't apply it here. Because since there's traffic coming across from one roof to the other, because the gag is dumi the chatzer, just as the chatzer has traffic, the gag also has traffic. Invisible mechitza cannot be applied when there's traffic running across it. When there are people trampling above that invisible mechitza, it doesn't work. It's limited somewhat. It can be applied, but not when it's trampled upon. So Shmuel actually proves his shita for this Mishnah. If not for this impediment, the mechitza from down below would extend upward and create a full enclosure on this gag. Why? Evidently, my position is correct. A mechitza she'eina nikaris is mutar. Even a mechitza which is invisible can be applied and is a halachically valid mechitza. So Rav proved his point that gag is like chatzer. Just as chatzer has visible mechitzas, gag needs to have visible mechitzas. Otherwise, you can't apply good asik. Whereas Shmuel proved his shita, just the opposite. The only reason why he can't apply the invisible mechitza to enclose that gag, katan, is because it's traveled upon, because the gag happens to be similar to the chatzer with its traffic. Otherwise, it would work. That explains why the Mishnah needs to cite two examples of a similar halach. Continues the Gemara. So the following Amoraim was sitting and elaborating on our Mishnah. Yosef Rabba, Rabbi Zeira, Rabba Barav Chanan, V'Yosef Abayi Gabayu. And Abayi was sitting nearby and listening into the conversation. V'Yosef Ka'amri, and they were sitting and saying as follows, Shema Minyam Masnisen. We can derive the following formula from our Mishnah. That the Chatzar G'dayla is allowed to carry, the Chatzar K'tana can't. Apparently, the Yurei G'dayla B'K'tana, the residents of the large-sized Chatzar, reach into and control the small chatzer, which is considered to be merely like the Pesach of the large-sized chatzer, and bottle to the large-sized chatzer, and therefore doesn't affect it, doesn't adversely affect it. So the large size chatzar completely controls the small one. However, but the residents of the small size chatzar don't reach into the large one. They don't control it whatsoever. Now we're going to have no less than another 5 applications for this formula. Ketzad, for example, when it comes to kalayim. Gefanim begdoila. Say you fill the large chatzar with vines. Asur lizroya saktana. You may not plant another variety, seeds or something else, in the chatzar ktana. Why? Because the chatzar ktana is like a pesach. It's like an entranceway to the gadol. It's like it's inside the chatzar gdoila. And should you plant zroim, the ktana says, oh, you're planting within the vines of the chatzar gdoila. Perhaps let's see Rashi inside here. 3 lines from the bottom. It says Rashi, Dura gdoila moishlim ktana. They control the ktana. And they draw the ktana to them. But not in the reverse. The residents of the small one are not moishlim gdoila lemoishcha etzlan. They don't draw the large size chatzah to itself. As a result, if you filled the large size chatzah with kfanim, also is rice aktana. You can't plant in the small one. Why the command have your ktana kula besoikta ladomit? As though the entire small chatzah is situated inside the big chatzah. Says Rashi Achidish, Vafilu marchik arba amis miganak fanim. Even if you'll decide to leave a space of 4 amis between yourself and the vines, Shafilu besechakdoila. Should you do that, you can plant even in the large size chatzah, which has the vines themselves. As long as you leave a gap, a herchig of 4 amis, you're okay. Hacha asr. In this case, you can't. So if you fill the large chatzah with vines, you cannot go ahead and transfer and plant anywhere within the small size chatzah. Even if you leave a space between the entranceway, which has the vines, and these rhyme deep inside the small chaser. Even if you leave a gap, it won't work. Why? The Ktani Masnisim, but the Mishnah clearly says, that the small chaser is considered like an entranceway to the big chaser. Alma, apparently, Kula, the entire small chaser, Kechad Pesach Mashvila. We regard it like one entranceway. It's like the doorway to the Gadol. It's bottled to the Gadol. It's as though it's inserted and enveloped inside the chaser Gdola. Should you plant something in the Ktana? It's as though you plant it inside the Gdol, inside the vines. Therefore, it's awesome. It says the Gemara once again on the bottom line, Ketzad, Kfanim B'Gdoyla, Asul Zerayis HaKtana. If you have vines filling the large chatzar, you cannot plant other seeds in the small chatzar. V'im Zora, if you did so, Zroin Asurim. The plants are awesome. Because anything planted within the small chatzar is regarded as though it's inside the big chatzar. However, gifana mutarin. Here comes the paradox. The vines in the large size chatzar are mutar because they're not affected from what goes on in the small chatzar. Right? They rule the small chatzar. The small chatzar doesn't rule them and doesn't affect them. Just as in the Mishnah, they can carry. They're not affected by a small chatzar, which is exposed to them. Likewise here, the vines situated in the large size chatzar aren't affected by the Zroim and the small chatzar, which are considered like behind the Mechitza as far as they're concerned. So it's a one-way halacha. As far as the Zroim found in the small chatzar, they're considered to be entangled with the vines in the large chatzar because the small chatzar is not its own entity. It's considered as though it's inserted and found inside the large chatzar. However, the kfanim found in the large size chatzar are unaffected, completely detached from the ongoings in the small chatzar. So that's based on the concept that the large chatzar controls the small chatzar, but not in the reverse. Therefore, in the reverse case, kfanim bektana, they have vines planted in the small chatzar, which won't affect the large chatzar, mutal is reis hagdoyla. You can go ahead and plant zroim in the gdoyla, which is considered to be a separate entity and unaffected by the vines in the ktana. Likewise, another case, Isha b'gdoyla. If an Isha is found in the chatzar gdoyla, and her husband wants to give her a get, and give it to her through the kinyan chatzar, a person can acquire an object which is present in his property, in his chatzar. Rashi says, we're following the view that holds that this only works provided that he is actually present together with the item in the same chatzar. So let's say the Isha owns this property. She owns a Chatzar Gdoila. She owns a Chatzar Tana next door. And she's actually physically present in the Chatzar Gdoila. Isha B'Gdoila. The Get B'Gtana. However, the Get was placed in the Chatzar Tana next door. Miskareshes. It's going to work. She'll get divorced. Why? Because she, being in the Chatzar Gdoila, controls what goes on in the Ktana, draws the Get over to her, and it is found together with her in the same Chatzar. However, in the reverse, it won't work. Isha B'Gtana. She's in the small Chatzar. The Get B'Gdoila and the Get is in the large size Chatzar. Eina Miskareshes. She won't be Nisgarish because the Get is in the large Chatzar, which controls the small one. But she's in the small one, and she can't control what's going on in the large one, so she doesn't have the Get with her. Likewise, Tzibur B'Gdoila, Ushtech Tzibur B'Gtana. What if the Tzibur is sitting in the Chatzar G'dayla, and the Shliach Tzibur, who wants to be mighty then with the Tefillah, is present in the small Chatzar, Yoytzini Dechavasan. They'll be Yoytze, because they draw him over to them. However, in the reverse, it won't work. Tzibur B'Gtana. Let's say the crowd is sitting in the small size room, Ushtech Tzibur B'Gdoila, and the Chazan is sitting in the G'dayla, and Yoytzini Dechavasan, they're not Yoytze, because they can't draw him over to the G'tana. Another halacha, Tisha B'Gdoila, if you have 9 people in the G'dayla, V'yachad B'Gtana, the 10th man, isn't the small Chatzar, Mitzdarfin, they'll connect, because they draw him over towards them. However, Tisha B'Gtana, V'yachad B'Gdoila, the 9 in the small one, and the 10th man is sitting in the large size room, ain't Mitzdarfin, they won't connect, because since they're in the small size room, they can't bring him over to them. One halacha, Tzoyi B'Gtana, if you have this human waste sitting in the G'dayla, Also, likroes krishma b'ktana. You cannot read krishma in this small room, because the tzoya sitting in the gedola will affect what goes on in the ktana and make it aser to read krishma there. In the reverse, it'll be okay. Tzoya b'ktana, and you're in the gedola. Muta likroes krishma b'gedola, because you're unaffected, you're detached from the ktana, and therefore you can read krishma. So you have 6 applications of this concept. Amar lu habayit. So Abai heard him out and responded. He said, look, according to this formula, it's going to seem that a peculiar phenomenon will become produced from this. Meaning, Im Kain, according to this, Motzinu Mechitza Le'isr. It turns out that you can create a Mechitza, which will result in making something Asr, which is something strange. Mechitza is meant to perform in a positive capacity. It's meant to create, to enclose. According to your formula, we find a case where mechitza will actually make things worse. So he's referring back to the case of the kelayim. Right, so let's say you have one huge area. We discussed this earlier. As long as you leave a gap of 4 amis between yourself and the vines, you're perfectly fine to plant there. So the fact that there's a pesach between the gdol and the tana, those overlaps, those mechitzas, you've now created a situation where the entire Ktana, regardless of how far away from the vines you are, the entire Ktana is Asr for planting. So it turns out that the Mechitz has actually created Isr, which is something strange. MK Matsina Mechitza L'Isr. It turns out that the Mechitza will produce an Isr. Shilomola in Mechitza, because suppose there would be no Mechitza here. Marchik Dal Da Amis V'Zareya. He would simply leave a gap of 4 Amis and plant. Vilu hashta asura. But now, because of the mechitza between the G'dayla and the Ktana, that Pesach, it creates Isser. It affected the Ktana, it turned it into a place where you can't plant. Isn't that strange that a mechitza should create Isser? Only Rabzer Labai, what's so strange about that? Is this the first time? We have another precedent for this. V'loy matzino mechitza l'Isser? Did we not find a mechitza which creates Isser? V'atnan, we went to the Mishnah. Chatzar G'dayla Shenifrat Selektana. This is our Mishnah. He has a large size chatzar which is breached to the small one. What happens? G'daylu Muteris Uktana Asura. The large one is Asur and the katan is Mut. Why? Ipnei Sheikh Pesach Shal G'dayla. Because the small one is like a Pesach of the Gadol. So far so good. Now, let's say he changes the configuration of these mechitzes. He does some renovations. V'ilu Hishve Es Gifufeha. So Gifufeha is referring to the overlaps. Let's say he goes ahead and evens them out. We have the large Chatzar, which is wider than the small Chatzar. So the Gifufim are the overlaps. they create the impression of a Tzuras HaPesach. Suppose he goes ahead and obliterates those overlaps by creating a mechitza, building a wall perpendicular to those overlaps, stretching from the overlaps to the back wall of the Chatzar Gdoila. So basically he narrowed the wide Chatzar. The interior of the wide Chatzar is now narrowed and is equal in size to the small Chatzar. So now when you stand inside the large Chatzar and you peer over to the small Chatzar, it appears like one continuous entity. So what happens now? He just removed those mechitzes. He removed that Pesach. And the Gdoila and the Tana have now become one continuous entity. And what happens now? The Gdoila loses its heter. It's no longer separated by a Pesach. So you see a case where a mechitza can make Isser. Building something can result in Isser. V'ilu hishva es kifufeh. If you go ahead and even out those overlaps, Gdoila na me'asura. The large chatzah also will be asr. So why is it so wondrous to you that a mechitza can make things asr? We have a precedent in our very Mishnah. Amalei Sabai told him, how can you compare? Hasam silk mechitzesu. Over there, it's not that he created mechitzes. He removed mechitzes. He obliterated those overlaps. That's why it's asr. As opposed to the case of the kalayim, where, yeah, it's kind of peculiar. You have a case where it's open, an open area, it's mutter, as long as you leave a gap of a 4 amas. But then you go ahead and you create those overlaps, you make things worse for yourself, because now the Chatzar Ktana is considered to be a Pesach Gdoila, entire area is subordinate to the Gadol, you can't plant there if there are vines in the Gadol. So we have a case where there was no mechitzes, and by creating mechitzes, by introducing mechitzes, you make things awesome. It's very different than your case where the overlaps are already present, and therefore there's a Pesach, and it's mutter, but then he went ahead and he removed those overlaps. That's not considered to be introducing mechitzes. He obliterated existing mechitzes. Certainly there it could become asr. But to find a case where there are no mechitzes present and introducing mechitzes who make things asr, that is strange. Amalei Rava. So Rava responded, La'abayi. No, v'lemetzinu mechitzel isr. They do not find a precedent to the concept that a mechitza can introduce isr. V'itma, we learned, Sichach al gabe yachsadu. Shishla b'tzimen. If a person put a schach on top of a outdoor terrace, this balcony, this roofed area, that has semen, ksher, and it's kosher. Rashi describes it as follows. You have two walls, two full walls. At the end of the wall, you have a beam. Let's say it's a tefach wide. So if you have this full wall, at the end you have a beam here protruding, a tefach wide. At this side, the other side of the full wall, you have another tefach. And likewise, in the opposite wall, you have a tefach at the beginning, tefach at the end, protruding towards the other wall. So that's how you have four mechitzas for your sukkah. Two full walls, and you have these beams which create the partial third and fourth wall. So you place tzchach on that to create a sukkah. Kshir, and it's fine, because you have four walls. V'ilu hishva p'tzimeha psula. Let's say he goes ahead and evens out those protruding portions. So we have the full wall with the pole on one side, pole on the other, which is a tefach wide, which is enough for the shear of the wall of the sukkah. And instead of leaving it protruding, he went ahead and he affixed another board parallel to the existing wall. And by doing so, he wiped out, he obliterated those protruding tefachs, because he covered it over. Now you don't see them any longer from inside the sukkah. They're completely covered over. So what happens then? It's possible. Why? Because the mechitza that he introduced removed the effect of those protruding poles. So they're no longer functioning here. And therefore he doesn't have a third and fourth wall for a sukkah. So says Rava, we have a precedent to introduce it, the concept that introducing a mechitza can make things awesome. By adding that board flush to those protruding poles, he just removed them, and all he has is two walls for a sukkah, and a sukkah is possible. Abai responded, look, according to my opinion, even this sukkah would be kosher, as we're going to see by Hashem later in the parak. So according to me, it's still kosher. Even according to you, that sukkah is no longer kosher, that's not because he introduced mechitzes, it's because he removed those existing mechitzes. Silk mechitzes, is considered to be a removal of mechitzas. And certainly, it's possible, because those protruding poles are no longer visible. So you actually remove them by introducing this new board. But it's very different than my kasha. I was speaking about a case where there were no mechitzas there, and by simply introducing mechitzas to make things usser, you don't really have a precedent for such a concept. Okay, time for a brief chazor of today's daf. Can one transfer kli ha-chatzar, meaning a kli which was present inside the chatzar during Ben HaShemashes, over to the chatzar next door without an erev? So according to Rav, if this chatzar has an erev, in which case the kli ha-bayis are present in the chatzar, we're concerned. We're afraid that inadvertently he might transfer the household items as well. Therefore, the heter, or transfer from one chatzar to the other, is not applying the case of erev. If the chatzar has no erev, in which case the kli ha-bayis are not present in the chatzar, then you can go ahead and transfer the outdoor kelim from one chatzar to the other. According to Rabbi Yechanan, we don't have this concern. In either case, it's mutter. What about transferring from a chatzar to a churva? Rav Huna follows the sheet of Rav, differentiates between a chatzar that has an erev, in which case it's asur, whereas a chatzar that doesn't have an erev is mutter. Chia, the son of Rav, had a sheet as follows. We have two versions. According to the first version, both types of chatzeres are asur. The chatzar that has an erev is asur to transfer to churva, concerned about kli habayis. And based on that, we apply the isser even to the chatzar that has no erev. We're concerned if we allow this one, perhaps he's going to allow that one as well, so both are asr. According to the second version of Chiyuv HaRav, in both cases it's mutter. We learned about a large-sized roof adjacent to a small-sized roof, likewise a chatzak doyla near a chatzak tana. The Mishnah told us that the chatzak doyla is mutter because he has a pesach between himself and the tana, whereas the tana is asr because he's fully breached the doyla. Based on this, the Gemara came up with a formula that the chatzak doyla controls the chatzak tana and draws the chatzak tana into itself. We have six applications of this halach. Number one, regarding tiltal, you can carry in the gdoyla, not in the tana. If there are vines in the gdoyla, you cannot plant in the tana. When the isha is in the gdoyla and the get is in the tana, she draws it to herself and she becomes megoreshes. When the tzibur is in the gdoyla and the shliach tzibur is in the tana, they draw him over to them and their yotze. Nine people are in the gdoyla, and the tenth man in the tana, he's mitzdarif. They draw him over to their minion. And finally, if there's tzoy in the gdoyla, you can't read Krishna in the ktana because the tzoy of the gdoyla affects the entire ktana. Abai concluded with a kasha. It seems from the halach of kalayim that a mechitza will actually make things worse for us. Because generally, all you need to do is leave a gap of four ames between the vines and the zrayim. But in our case, due to the fact that there's a mechitza between the gdoyla and the ktana, those overlaps which create that pesach, the entire ktana becomes asr to plant in, which is peculiar, for which we seem not to have a precedent. And the Gemara responded with two examples, which Abaya negated.